listening to POP, Prevention on Point. My name is Brian Zimmerman.
I'm Tara Eldred. Today we have JP Cahill. Hi, JP.
Hi, JP. Good afternoon.
Like Tara said, our priority is finding the people that have an inside view and know about the resources and have interesting experience. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, I'm glad, you know, we were able to put this together. I think we've been talking about getting together in this way for a few months. So I'm glad that we found a time that worked for all of us.
Yeah, we finally got it together.
That's actually one of the hardest parts is the logistics.
That. Yeah, and you know, in human services and in all of us working in public health, there are so many ways that we're pulled, and we're pulled in so many different directions that sometimes just sitting down and doing a public service such as this, a radio show to, again, educate and inform the people of Columbia and Greene counties, we have to really prioritize sending out the signal to people and letting them know what's available. So you want to introduce yourself and what you do here in Columbia County?
Sure. My name is JP Cahill. I'm the dual recovery coordinator for Columbia County, New York. I guess I'll start out first by sharing I'm a father of two beautiful boys. I have a 16-year-old daughter who's beautiful herself. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I'm a brother. But I'm also a person living in recovery from a co-occurring disorder, a substance use disorder, and mental illness. So my role as a dual recovery coordinator in Columbia County, so there's 11 other counties in New York State that have a dual recovery coordinator, and they're mostly in rural counties where service availability is limited, and also the rates of lethal overdose is high per capita. So Columbia County is one of those counties, and my role is to improve access to and quality of care for individuals with co-occurring disorder and their complex needs.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for sharing your story with us and all the wonderful roles you have outside of your role with the county. And I think people don't necessarily understand that co-occurring disorder and how important it is to know that definition and understand that a co-occurring disorder requires so many more individuals to help and to assist, because treatment for mental illness and treatment for substance disorder are not the same.
Right. So I would define co-occurring disorder as coexistence of mental illness and substance use disorder. But it can also include the coexistence of intellectual disabilities and chronic health conditions. So you can imagine an individual who experiences mental health issues are going to have much more difficult time getting the services they need and remaining engaged in treatment for their illness if there's another underlying condition like an intellectual disability or a chronic condition.
And that I appreciate that, because that is something I didn't know.
Yep.
So I always attributed a co-occurring disorder to mental illness and substance use disorder. So that even broadens the definition and the number of people that are in need of a service such as yours.
Yep. So SAMHSA is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration. So it's a national organization, and they track data such as the co-occurrence of substance use and mental illness. And the information that they've put out is that approximately 50% of individuals who have a substance use disorder also have a co-occurring mental illness.
50%.
And my own opinion, I feel like that number is even greater than 50%. Just from my experience sitting on clinical conversations locally, it appears to me that it's the number's probably closer to 75%.
Do you think that's due to under-recording or people not receiving the proper treatment and care?
Absolutely. I think a lot of diagnoses are going undiagnosed. They're treated. People just aren't being assessed, or...
Or it could be something as simple, I think, also just from working in this field, is that it's the crisis of the time.
Right.
Right. If somebody is currently using a substance and needs help and treatment in that arena, then that's where the target is. And then if they're maybe decompensating due to a mental illness, then that's where the focus is, and not really looking at that holistic version of a human being. And I think that's something that's really starting to change, is it, especially even in treatment, that we look at the whole person mm-hmm. and not just at their diagnoses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when we talk about best practices for treating co-occurring disorders, at the root of it is like you said, offering integrated care under one roof. I guess my role within this system of care, because you have so many different organizations trying to provide support to individuals, and you have case managers offering their service, and you have therapists and counselors doing, you know, individual and group services. You have doctors offering medications to support recovery. You have administrators trying to run their programs or their organizations, but you don't have an individual who's looking at the system of care as a whole and seeing how are we supporting individuals with co-occurring disorders. And that's what my role in this is. My role is really to support the organizations within Columbia County to identify some of the gaps and identify some of the ways that we can better support the needs of individuals with co-occurring disorders, because they're more complex, because those individuals are more likely to wind up homeless. They're more likely to wind up involved in the legal system. They're more likely to spend more time in hospitals and jails and prisons. Their needs are just more complex and greater than somebody who just has a substance use disorder, somebody who just has mental illness, because of the way that they interact.
What are some of the patterns that you see? I'm just interested to know what you see specific to our area.
I think the connection piece is the part that is really challenging in this area. Like you said, we're in a rural community, so the transportation. Accessing the services and supports people need, even if it's just connecting with a friend or a family member in an in-person way, in a more intimate way, is so much more difficult than you would find in a suburban or a city. It's just more difficult to connect with the healthy supports that people need. And even though the service availability in Columbia and Greene County is limited, what I will say about our service system is that we're very collaborative, because we're, you know, small town. It's the same with treatment providers. Everybody kind of knows each other.
Familiar faces.
Right. And I think we're able to work collaboratively very well together as a provider system to identify some of the gaps in the community and strategies to fill those gaps.
I'm always like, I'm not collaborative enough. I need to know what everybody's doing all the time.
You know, you see sometimes in other counties where there's an abundance of services and they just don't work well together.
Yeah.
This one's trying to, you know, go above and beyond what the other one's doing as a way of retaining clients.
And truly, I have to agree with you on this point, because I feel that our community partners, everybody has a role.
Right.
Everybody has a specialty. I mean, we had a meeting with both counties together for our mental health and OASIS subcommittee. So it's exciting that growth is even continuing to happen, even though we do have such collaborative services in both counties.
Mm-hmm.
So you said earlier that not many counties have it. They're mostly rural. So here we are, right? Two very rural counties in New York. Now, does Greene County have...
No.
This position.
Oh.
No. So this position is specific to Columbia County.
And are you the first person to hold this position, or is this a position that's been a part of Columbia County?
It's been a part of Columbia County for about 12 years.
Wow.
My predecessor was Al White.
And what about any other local counties near us that I would consider rural? I mean, I know Dutchess County might not be considered a rural county because it has big cities, but are there any surrounding counties that have a position such as yours, or are we going out into Western New York at that point in time?
Yeah, we're talking like Broome County, Erie County.
And do you coordinate with those, or do you have the opportunity to do so? Because I'm sure you all have the same successes and difficulties in a position such as yours.
Yeah, we have a quarterly meeting.
Nice.
So we meet and discuss actually with OMH and OASIS, so the Office for Mental Health and OASIS, the Office for Addiction Services and Supports,
right,
to talk about some of the things that are working, some of the challenges that we're experiencing, how we can best implement best practices in our counties, some of the the NIMBY phenomenon that we experience when we're trying to implement new things like methadone clinic or a homeless shelter, things like that, and how we navigate some of those difficult conversations.
The NIMBY phenomenon, if you could elaborate just a little more on that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of negative stigma around programs like methadone clinic, because I think in general there's a lack of understanding around what it is and the importance of the medication and the continuum of treatment for individuals with opiate use disorder.
Yeah, and it's something that we talk about, GP, a lot on this show, that we really have talked about stigma, whatever stigma that happens to be or whatever substance it may have to be around, and that really, if we're preventing anything, that's one of the things we're trying to prevent is, mm-hmm. is the continuation of stigma around these diseases and understanding that it is a disease. Mm-hmm. It's no different than somebody having diabetes. It's diagnosable. It's treated by a physician. These are things that should not cause general concern for people. And these are necessary treatments. And we do hear a lot about this when it comes to any kind of facility, I think, with somebody with any kind of diagnosis, mental health or developmental or substance use, it really does start to affect people's community, they believe.
Yeah, especially in neighborhoods where you have families and whatnot, and they express concern, and there's just that general lack of understanding around the topic. Methadone, for example, is an evidence-based research medication that treats opiate use disorder. It's especially more effective in treating fentanyl, which is more prevalent nowadays than heroin.
Yeah.
Which was more, Suboxone was able to kind of touch some of the withdrawal symptoms and the cravings that somebody would experience. Yeah, it's something that we experience quite a bit.
I asked our last guest, Bob Hoyt, the same question. I think it's going to be my standard question to guess. If I gave you a magic wand and you could, like, wish for things for your program and the individuals that you're working with, I'm sure money's one of them, but we're never going to heal and fix everybody. But what obstacles are you having in assisting individuals in Columbia County at this time?
I think probably the single most impact that we could have as individuals working in a treatment system is to create a system of care that is compassionate and empowers people who are struggling with addiction to seek out the support. I think it's imperative in my role to not only educate the public, but also educate the people who are working in these systems of care, and not to perpetuate the stigma around co-occurring disorders and some of the challenges that people with co-occurring disorders face.
Yeah. I think the stigma works on both sides. It's not just informing the community, but it's also informing those people who have substance use disorder that it is okay to seek out treatment, that they are not alone, and that there are a lot of caring and compassionate people mm-hmm. that are available to assist them. And it's a bumpy road, but that care and compassion does not usually go away with the people that I have experienced to work in the field here in Columbia and Greene counties.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to circle back because, I learned something today, which I love. when it comes to co-occurring disorders, is there a population that is more marginalized for treatment? Because you did speak that it isn't just mental health, that there are other ways that people can be diagnosed with a co-occurring disorder. Do you feel that there is a population within those with co-occurring disorder that is more marginalized because maybe there isn't that information and education out there for people?
Yeah, I would think it would exist quite a bit in primary care systems, medical providers who aren't exposed to the type of training and experience with treating individuals with co-occurring disorders. They're likely seeing those individuals and
100%,
treating
yeah.
them, but might not even be aware of any other underlying conditions. And I can't imagine how difficult and frustrating it is for a medical provider to not kind of have a full picture of what's going on for an individual and how to best help them.
So I know since you've taken this role, you've taken it and ran with it. So congratulations on that. I think you're doing a great job. I know that you've been a key part in the resource guide, which I think is such a gift to service providers in both counties. You want to talk to us a little bit about that resource guide?
Yeah, I just want to say This resource guide that you have helped make, the people that I share it with are surprised at how thorough it is. I'm sure it takes a lot of work, but I want to make sure we really plug it and people who are listening really understand what a great resource we have.
Absolutely. And if I could, I'd like to just back up. So in my own recovery, at a point in time when I was struggling with a co-occurring disorder, I was in a place where I didn't know who to reach out to help for. You know, I didn't know who to call. I didn't know where to start. And
you were ready.
And I was ready.
Yeah.
There was many points in time where I was ready and I didn't know who to call or who to reach out to. And I think it's really important for me as my why is to offer hope to individuals who still struggle, right? And so towards that end, creating this resource guide was very important to me.
Yeah, on a personal level, not just professionally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So it's a personal victory.
Absolutely. You know, if I can offer hope or a phone number or someplace, you know, where people can connect with some service or support that they need, I want to make sure that it's accurate and it's up to date. And, you know, people are getting information that they find are helpful to their recovery.
Do you want to say what the URL is and what it's called and how it can be used?
Sure. So the Columbia and Greene County Behavioral Health Resource Guide. I know that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll shorten it one day.
Acronym maybe. Who knows?
It can be found on the ColumbiaCountyMHC.com website. If you scroll down on the website to a little blue icon that says resource guide on the top of it and click on that, it'll bring you to an AI chat feature. On the bottom of the page, there's an additional link to the PDF version of the resource guide where you can find the full 150-page document.
Very small.
Yeah, very small. So if you want to get a more in-depth, comprehensive listing for the organization that you're looking for, you can find it in that document. But what's really nice about the resource guide is this AI chat feature.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It really is phenomenal.
So this feature simplifies the process of finding the resources that you need. Because who wants to look through a 150-page document and look at organizations that
especially
might not...
Especially when you're looking for help, right, too. Right. That would be...
Good point.
Right? I'm like, I finally want help, and now let me weave through this 150-page document for the exact organization that's going
to
help.
Ever a time you want it to be easy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, as simple as typing in something like, I'm struggling with my addiction, are there any resources in the guide that can help me? The AI will scan the 150-page document and start pulling out information or organizations that are relevant to the search. Then, by being made aware of those organizations, you can go into the full comprehensive guide and get a more comprehensive listing of what they provide.
So the data set that it's pulling from is the 150-page document. So anything that you're typing in, any kind of query that you're writing, it's pulling from this 150-page document.
Right. It's not pulling from the internet. Just from the 150.
And I think that's what's so lovely. I mean, this is, again,
All local.
And that's what's so important is if you just go to a search engine on the World Wide Web and type in treatment for substance use disorder or treatment for mental illness, you're going to get the ads are going to pop up first. This, and this is just for Columbia and Greene County.
So the guide is also not just for helping individuals find mental health and substance use services. That's kind of where we started, but the needs of individuals with co-occurring disorders is vast, right?
Yes.
So There's full listings of how to access food pantries, where to get legal services, where
housing,
employment. You know, what organizations are supporting individuals with employment.
I also like how it also does embrace those national hotlines that are available. It shows that bigger picture of things that are accessible to people, and then also our local organizations that are providing certain services like we just spoke of.
Yeah, there's a full listing of not just local, but state and national hotlines. And there's also the Office of Mental Health Resource Guide and the Office for Addiction Services and Supports Resource Guide that were pre-developed by the state, which you can easily click and access their guides.
JP, so one more thing. Tara and I are both outside of our work in human services. We're both artists and into the arts and how art can be integrated into wellness and this work of recovery. And we like to ask our guests, is there anything like a music or a work of art or a video or anything that you would like to share with listeners?
Yeah, there's an inspiring video I'd like to share from the Harris Project. And this is a non-for-profit organization from Westchester County.
Marvelous organization.
One of the only nonprofits that directly addresses co-occurring disorders. Yep. And they created a film inspired by the life and experiences of Harris Marcassano and his family and many others.
Okay, I got one.
Drink if you've stolen clothes from Lisa's closet.
I like that one.
Come on, I know at least one person.
Drink if you have a crush on someone that's not your boyfriend.
Ooh. You said enough.
Drink if you posted a photo I look trash in because you look good in it.
Drink if you have to drink to just to be here.
Nobody.
Drink if you don't know why you just said that. Drink if no one likes you anyway. Drink if you replay every conversation you had that day in your bed at night. Drink if no one understands what you're so worried about all the time. Drink if you can't go to class without it. Drink if you're pretty sure everybody hates you. Drink if you've stolen your dad's pain meds because drinking doesn't cut it. Drink if you can't escape the thoughts in your head. Drink if you're so anxious it's happening again. Drink if you don't know what you just took. Drink to feel something, to feel nothing. Drink if no one even knows. If you're happy and you know happiness won't last, if you're depressed, if your mind is racing, if you're tired, if you can't focus on anything, if your mind won't shut the fuck up.
Drink if you're afraid you won't wake up tomorrow. Drink if you don't care.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Pop,
Prevention on Point here on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, listener-supported radio for open ears. We're here with a special guest today, John Cahill, dual recovery coordinator at the Columbia County Mental Health Center. And what you just heard was the audio from a video called You Don't Know the Half of It, made by an organization that John recommends checking out called The Harris Project. They can be found at theharrisproject.org, theharrisproject.org. Here's a short description of the video that we just heard. You don't know the half of it. One in two people with substance use issues also struggle with mental health challenges. This link is known as co-occurring disorders, or COD. This film was created by the Harris Project, inspired by the life and experiences of Harris Marcassano, his family, and many others. And here's an introduction to the work of the Harris Project from their homepage, which elaborates a little on Harris and how the project came about. Harris Blake Marcassano was a real person who struggled with co-occurring disorders, death by accidental overdose at the age of 19. By that time, Harris had received treatment at 4 inpatient substance use rehabilitation programs and 2 outpatient substance use rehabilitation programs. They all claimed they could treat both his mental health and substance use disorders together. They failed him. Stephanie, Harris's mother, has made it her life mission to change the flawed system that isn't built to support those with or at risk of developing co-occurring disorders. It's her goal to prevent the development of co-occurring disorders through the Harris Project's CODA, Co-Occurring Disorders Awareness Programming, ensuring access to comprehensive, individualized treatment for COD and support individuals in recovery.
So JP, what an incredible, what a great opportunity to get to talk to you on air. Can they reach out directly to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Would you mind providing listeners with a way to contact you?
Sure. The best number to reach me at the office is 518-828-9446. That is the phone number for the Columbia County Mental Health Center. I'm there from 8:30 to 4:00 in the afternoon, and I can be reached at extension 1222.
Direct line to the dual recovery coordinator of Columbia County, folks.
That's great. And JP, I want to thank you so much for your honesty and telling your story. And I think it's really delightful to hear that part of you. I sit across of a lot of meetings with you, and it's nice to hear that personal connection to why you do the work that you do. So thanks for sharing that with everybody today. I think it's really important. And thanks for the work that you do. And I look forward to what you're going to continue to do in the future in this role.
Yeah, JP, you just talked about the importance of having those hard conversations and how to start that. And you just gave an example of that by being vulnerable and telling your story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a living example of that. So thank you so much for that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and be able to connect with your listeners and you both. I appreciate it so much.
If you all out there have questions, I feel like we just barely touched on so much today. We're always willing to talk, email, whatever. You can reach me at 518-502-4379.
And you can reach me, it's Tara, via email. It's TaraE@TwinCountyRecoveryServices.org. And we want to thank everybody listening to POP Prevention on Point today. And our guest was JP Cahill from Columbia County Mental Health, the dual diagnosis coordinator. That's correct. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.